So we're all composed of elements, which you can learn about in like a physiology class on the physical level. They're fairly well researched and described. The main element where our body is composed of is nothing. If you take an atom, according to the physicists, and you say, well, what percent of that atom actually exists? Or what percent of that atom is something actually present? 0.999% is something actually present, and the other, all the rest of the atom is nothing, empty space. But once we end up breathing in a body made of elements, so if we didn't have a body made of elements, obviously, we wouldn't be breathing. And if we weren't breathing, we wouldn't be able to form mental conceptions of ideas. If we couldn't do that, we wouldn't be able to experience spiritual intuition. And if we couldn't do that, we wouldn't be able to understand the word. And if we couldn't do that, we wouldn't be able to know Shiva. So having a body formed of elements is very important if one wants to realize things in the opposite direction, which is why Shankaracharya, a Hindu sage, starts his main work called The Crest Jewel of Wisdom with the words, a human birth is difficult to obtain. It's difficult to obtain a form made of elements which can breathe and think and intuit and know and become nothing. So the object is become nothing, which is to say, return to the beginning. Came from nothing, no thing. And the whole object is to realize that before one dies, that it's still nothing. So you get one woman sage in India in the 20th century who was born enlightened, speaking here of nothing. And she said on one occasion, when asked about her life, toward the end of it, she'd grown up and she'd been born enlightened, but nonetheless she grew up and had a normal little girlhood, and she got married and had children and appeared to live a normal life. And toward the end of it, someone asked her, well, what would you say about your life? She said, I would say that nothing really happened. So nothing's there all along. So what the heck does that mean? Nothing's there all along. What if you look at the sky on a clear night? It doesn't take a spiritual practice to do that. If you've got a clear night, look at the sky, see all those stars. And, they all exist in space. And an astronomer can tell you exactly what space they exist in. They all exist in space, but the space in which they exist is unaffected by their existence in it. So when they disappear, the space remains. But it was there when they appeared too. So the space is the constant. Or rather, space is the constant. Using the word space here to metaphorically to stand for nothing. What's sometimes called the void, in Buddhism it's called shunyata, emptiness. It's the highest state of meditation, is to experience shunyata. It's a state of consciousness in which one realizes emptiness, which is Shiva again. And at the same time, the person who's realized emptiness, not believes in it, but realized emptiness, is living, so to speak, in emptiness. At the same time, the person's probably living quite an organized, at least conscious, life in the world. It's far from empty. There's all kinds of stuff going on. So it's like living a life in the world while simultaneously doing nothing in emptiness. Which is why Shiva can appear as a drunk, prostitute. That's out here in the world. What's behind it? Nothing. Just Shiva. The nothing guy. Now, the deeper, more spiritual level, Shiva is regarded as he's referred to as sometimes as the Mahayogin. Maha meaning great. So on a more metaphysical, not really metaphysical, on a more occult level, occult simply meaning literally hidden. It's not some weird thing. Occult just means hidden. We could also say mysterious. On a more occult or mysterious level, Shiva is regarded as the teacher of teachers. He's the initiator of initiators. Rather, he's the initiator of initiates. He's the being who holds sway over all wise beings on the planet. And wise beings on the planet know it, no matter what language they're speaking. To put it kind of crudely, he's the main guy. You can talk about Mahatmas and sages and rishis, all of which exist. Shiva is their teacher and their guide. That would include beings like Brahma and Vishnu, and Rama and Krishna and Buddha. Shiva is their teacher and guide. It's said to be a great privilege to encounter Shiva, as scary as it might be. When am I encountering Shiva, for heaven's sake? Is there some person standing there I'm encountering? No. You're encountering Shiva every time something's coming to an end that you don't want to come to an end. That's Shiva. It's a bummer. I don't want this to end and it's ending. Well, that's Shiva. So a devotee of Shiva is glad that it's ending. Finally. Yeah. Okay.